This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. Today we begin Portraits of a Changing China, a series describing the lives of five ordinary people in the world's most populous country. Each of them represents in some way the consequences of China's steady retreat from communism. It is a transformation that has resulted in both opportunity and loss. NPR China correspondent Rob Gifford begins the series with a profile of Henry Lee, a businessman and nightclub owner who's at the edge of Beijing's newly emerging social scene.
It's martini night at the Neo Lounge, one of Beijing's hottest night spots. The bar is teeming with young people who'd look at home in New York, Los Angeles, or London.
All the ADs say, Quentin, he will never get that shot.
Center stage is Henry Lee. He's 40, but he looks 28. He's telling some friends about the bit part he's just played in the new Quentin Tarantino movie, currently being filmed in Beijing. And he's soaking in the adulation that comes from being the owner of Beijing's hippest hangout. In recent weeks, Tarantino and Uma Thurman, the star of the movie, have been seen at the Neo Lounge. Everyone wants to know Henry. He's good-looking in a raffish kind of way, his floppy black hair streaked with subtle hints of light brown. He's thin and wears a tight Moschino t-shirt, faded designer jeans and Gucci loafers, and he exudes a hint of expensive aftershave. The Neo Lounge, he says, is like home.
It's kind of like my living room. Everybody knows everybody, everybody knows me, and we just come here. It gets kind of like home time before we go to bed.
It looks like no one's going to bed here before about 3 a.m. Throbbing music, vodka martinis, designer furniture. This isn't the communist China of old. But after decades of being convulsed by Marxism, Leninism, and Maoism, many young people in China's cities are discovering a new ism. Hedonism. And people like Henry Lee are providing the clubs and bars for China's new wealthy urbanites to come out and play.
I want introducing good lifestyle into China. You know, Chinese people, we deserve to live a better life. I think maybe this is the mission. I've been sent back by God or whatever, you know, come back to do that job.
The people in the bar, Chinese and Western, seem to feel Henry's fulfilling his mission.
Oh, he's really changing things. I would say he has, for a Chinese guy, he has some class. You know, he's trying to bring some taste in China.
A lot of people are learning things from this kind of bar, says the Chinese journalist. If anyone wants to open up a bar in Beijing now, he has to come here to check it out. The Communist Party still rules China, but the existence of places like the Neo Lounge show how loose the party's control over nightlife in the city has become. For this generation's parents, nothing was possible except what the state said. But for this bar full of entrepreneurs, journalists, and internet gurus, Henry Lee says anything's possible in the new China.
It's kind of like your grand-grandparents. They go to San Francisco. They dig in the mud. And people say, what the f*** are you doing over there? Pardon my French. And then I see gold there. They say, ah, they laugh. They say, you see gold? Yes, I do. And after 100 years, it's a gold mine. This is what we believe here in China because we see gold here.
The gold rush began when Chairman Mao's successor, Deng Xiaoping, opened China's door to the world in 1978. Since then, billions of foreign dollars have rolled in. So has the influence of Western society. And Chinese people themselves have more and more freedom to go abroad. A few days later, Lee is sitting looking hungover on the terrace of Public Space, one of his other bars. He tells the story of how he himself left China in the mid-80s and went to Australia because he says it was too hard to live in China then. But after nearly a decade abroad, in 1995, he joined the flood of Chinese people returning to their homeland. And he says he's now living in a different country, almost on a different planet, he says, from the one he left in the 1980s.
Right now in China, people are so relaxed. 20 years ago, we always have this political shadow hanging over our head. But now it's over. We don't see it. Now you can argue with government, say this is right, this is wrong, and then they do take your argument before you don't even think about it, to argue with government, say this is right, this is wrong, you know. But now even newspaper people can discuss it in public.
That's true on social and economic issues, but certainly not on sensitive political ones. Like many of China's new entrepreneurs, Henry Li has strong views on most things. For a start, he's dismissive of the students who took part in the demonstrations in Tiananmen Square in 1989.
I don't agree with student movement. I think they can have some suggestion to the society, but if they want to rule the country, it's too early for them. Come on, they're a bunch of kids. They know what? They never even earn one penny of themselves. How can they know how to rule the country? Will you guys let your country rule by a bunch of Yale, Harvard University students? Of course not. I won't let my child, let my relatives, let any person near me to go to that protest because it's nonsense.
And he's not just saying that for fear of retribution from the government. His views are typical of a large section of urban Chinese society for whom stability is paramount, even if it means only a slow transformation of the political system. There are many, many disenfranchised people in modern China and many angry people who suffered during Tiananmen and other crackdowns. But Henry Li represents a growing urban middle class in China that's interested in making money for themselves, but also believes that economic development is what China needs, much more than ideas about political reform.
People who have the guts, who have real skill, we do business. I still believe industrial business can save the country, not ideas. We don't need ideas, you know. In this country, so many people are starving, you know. Why we need idea? We need people to do something to help the country. And if the country gets better, we come to a level we can advance the country, develop the country, and then we can talk ideas.
Though he loves Western clothes and Western style, like many Chinese people of his generation, he scoffs at American hypocrisy on human rights issues. Look at McCarthyism in the 50s, he says. Where were American people's human rights then? He admits that China has plenty of problems under the Communist Party, but says his life and that of many other people in urban China is getting better every day, and he's quite happy leaving the politics to the politicians. There's only one party that Henry's really interested in, and that's the one going on at the Neo Lounge this evening. Amid the partying, Henry manages to pull himself away from the bar to offer a final thought about China and the West. America doesn't need to worry about an expansionist or threatening China, he says. Look around you. Chinese people just want to make some money and, like Americans, have a better life.
We don't need to take over the world, but we just join the world. We enjoy to live with all of you and to share this world. China will join the whole world, and then we can party together.
Rob Gifford, NPR News, Beijing.
Next Tuesday, the life of an unemployed worker, one of hundreds of thousands who have been laid off as China abandons its state-owned factories. There's more information on the series at npr.org.